the world is worried about digging wells to get clean water. A lot of the undeveloped world or developing nations are worried about getting clean drinking water, and we have so much clean drinking water, now we're going to unclean drinking water.
Yes, and now we're so desperate for a new craze and something that can be marketed as healthy and, you know, perfect for your fitness, and this is a miracle worker, and there's just a certain line, like, there should be something that just clicks in your brain and goes, is this really something we need?
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Addicted to Fitness, and welcome back for those who have been with us before, and for those who are new, thanks for joining us. So today we've got a couple of topics on deck for discussion, a couple of kind of like buzzed about health topics. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, we just want to give everybody a quick shout and say thank you very much for being here. And also plan to take a little swing by some of our other online spots. We've got, of course, our various places you can leave reviews, which mm-hmm. are very much appreciated and needed in order to maintain our profiles on the various podcast platforms.
Yeah.
But also, we are on Facebook.
Right.
The Addicted to Fitness podcast. So right. Definitely check that out for some kind of exclusive content. And do give us a shout in between on our various social channels and with those great reviews.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, all our contact will be at the end, so you guys can reach out to us, and always elementaltampa@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. All right, as we normally do, we're going to go into our training recap for the week. So what strenuous exercise have you been doing in the last week?
Well, I'm pretty sure I lifted a heavy grocery bag at least once. And nice. I don't know if anybody knows this, but strollers are not light.
No, it's true.
And that is the extent of my training this week.
And we have an unstable weight that's slowly growing at home, too.
Yeah.
It's getting up to close to 15 pounds right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, her name is Ella, and she is also at some
squiggly
movement. Yep, she's like a little bag of water.
Yeah.
Trying to juggle that sucker.
Yeah. She's always trying to like kind of like
throw her body weight in unexpected directions.
Exactly.
She's figuring it out. Keeps you on your toes.
Yep. So, any trips on the Peloton this week?
Nada.
Nada? Okay. But I know you get your morning yoga routine in real quick. I know you've been doing pretty good about that.
Yeah.
So, I know that's something, but, you know, we're scheduling. Looking at scheduling a trip to the yoga studio for you in the near future. I know that.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, I think we've talked about it on the show before, but as much as we are about fitness and health and being healthy, sometimes you just have to know when you can't do some types of training and physical exertion and kind of know your boundaries. Know your edges is what I like to say.
Right.
So I know my edges, and I know that if I were to give up something right now to try to squeeze in training, it would be sleep. And if I gave up more sleep than I already am, I would start getting sick.
Right.
So as of right now, I am really not focusing on training. I know that's kind of counterproductive for purposes of the podcast, but it is truth, and I think it is real life for everybody. We all have those times in our life where we can't pressure ourselves so much to fit within a certain ideal. We have to really be realistic and know that it's just temporary and like look to get back to it as soon as you can.
Right.
I know this is just a temporary kind of absence from my training, and I'll be back before we know it. So
good. That's good. That's a good positive outlook to have. And, you know, I know you'll stay diligent with it. So, you know, we're always just learning on the go right now with this whole new new weight I described.
Ella, yeah. Which
obviously is not a weight, but
very, very effective. If that was a training,
yeah,
that would be so much more effective.
It's good upper body.
It is. And back.
Yeah. Yeah. And patience too. There's a muscle.
Now you're getting into a whole other area.
If there's a patience muscle, we're definitely working that on a daily basis. But I know I teased this last episode that I was going to be going to a TRX training course in Orlando. So I actually did go to that, and it was awesome. And for all those, TRX is actually a brand. They actually produce multiple different types of exercise equipment, but they're probably their most popular and their one they're most well known for is their suspension trainer. That you've probably seen them at the gyms that you've seen or that you would go to or you belong to. So they're kind of, you would usually see them attached to the side of a wall, and they're just these bands with some like handles at the bottom, and you can do a whole cornucopia of exercises.
Wow.
Yeah, cornucopia. I had to pull that one. I pulled Jeez. That one deep. So, but we were learning some really kind of their foundational exercises, foundational movements, and they have like 6 foundational movements. It's, you know, it all starts in the plank. So, which is obviously a lot of people know that the plank is a great, people think about it as a core exercise, but it's really a total body exercise. And maintaining a proper plank, especially when you're using suspension trainers from TRX, you really, it's just holding that position and you're doing a total body exercise and you'll definitely feel it. So we learned all their foundational movements, the plank, the squat, the hinge, the lunge, the pull and push movements like a chest press and a row. So we learned a lot of those different, their foundations. This was an intro course. So we got to learn a lot of those. And I say we, Sean Balow from Tampa Strength and I went over there and got to participate in this course. And I really enjoyed it. And I think I'm probably going to be doing another TRX training course sometime soon. They got a pretty sweet deal where they give you $100 off your next one. So
that's nice.
And as far as training courses go, and some people might not be in the know, but they are, and you know, there's some are better than others, but it's, you know, the average anywhere from $300 to $600 and up.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, I would say like $300 is the low end, $600 is probably pretty regular, and then they can go up to like, I know kettlebell certifications are $1,000, so. I mean, it's... And that's
I can't whistle, but if I could whistle, I would be whistling right there.
And I believe that some of those certifications, like the kettlebell one, is $1,000, and there's a chance you might not pass.
Wow.
I don't know if you have to pay $1,000 each time. I don't think they would do that to you. I don't know how many people they would have coming back to do that. But I know that there's certain like kind of... practical exams that you have to complete to actually be certified in the certain type of training modalities. So TRX not like that. Luckily we all passed with flying colors, but I really got a lot out of it. We went to this gym over in Orlando called Better Every Day, and the owner was Trevor Anderson. I believe he was a former NFL player and now kind of all-around performance coach. Has he's a golf fitness coach. He coaches kids in football and everything. So, I mean, he's got everything at that gym and very great instructor. I learned a lot from him and took a lot from the class. So I've already started adding it, adding suspension trainer and TRX exercises into my clients' workouts. So I'm going to keep adding to it. And I think the next one we're gonna conquer is sandbag training too. I know we mentioned that. Because I was doing some downloading of programming today for that. So when I saw a lot of exercise, I was like, oh, why didn't I think about that? So I went and added some sandbags to my client's training routine.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I don't know what it is about a sandbag. I just like the fact that it's, I don't know, it's like you're throwing something around. It makes it more fun than like if you're lifting a weight. And I also think like weights are just like kind of harsh on your body sometimes.
Right.
Even just like lifting them, but you've got like a bag of sand. It's just a little, I don't know, not gentler.
Right.
Isn't exactly the word I'm looking for, but yeah. Better to throw stuff around.
Yeah, there's a lot more, I would say, functional strength benefits with a sandbag than a traditional barbell, even though you can get some out of a barbell for sure. But a lot of more kind of everyday movements. I mean, thinking about picking something. They even have one move I saw today called the bucket. I think bucket lifts. It's just like you're carrying a bucket, but you're holding a sandbag, kind of like a bucket, and just doing squats with it, doing rotational movements with it, you know. And it's just, think about that translating
to the fireman. Did you do the fireman yet?
Fireman?
Yeah. Oh. It's like where you like literally throw the bag over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they I'm blanking on what they call that. You know, it could be like a loaded, front loaded or side loaded.
I like
that.
My name.
Yes.
The fireman.
Yes. Fireman. That's good. But yeah, I'm excited to work on that. And as you guys can probably hear just a little bit, I'm fighting a little bit of a head cold. And so right now I'm sipping on some.
He's sipping on some tea.
Some herbal tea and some citrus. But normally I'd be drinking some beverages from our sponsors, the Hemp Coffee Exchange.
Yes. And usually he's pretty adamantly loyal to that as well.
Oh, no. That's very true. Yeah. I'll be drinking some in the morning, so don't worry.
I do too.
Yes. If you guys are interested in trying some of their awesome super coffee blend, go to hempcoffeeexchange.com. You can read up about their product. And when you buy some of their awesome super coffee, use the code ATF at checkout to get 20% off your order.
It's a damn good deal.
Yes.
I mean, that's just good in general off coffee. Never mind, like,
right.
That's just a good deal in general.
Yeah, they are great sponsors. We love them. And the Brett and Jeremy, they're building out their brick-and-mortar store right
they're
now.
They're going to actually have a physical location, retail location soon, yep. Which is super exciting. Yep.
And we already have talks. We've already talked about, you know, taking the podcast on the road to there once they open up. So get ready for that in the later this year. So I know you were telling me earlier in the week there was a topic you wanted to talk about on the podcast.
Yes. So this topic is something that I've just started seeing pop up. I mean, everywhere from Twitter. I've even seen it on Instagram. And it sounds sort of ridiculous. So I had to look into it. And then, of course, one of the articles I was recently reading had a link to it. And the topic is raw water. Now, just think about that for a second. Raw water. What the F is raw water, and why the heck do we have to care about it? Because I'm pretty sure that water in general is really good for you. Why do we have to go and make this more complicated? I don't understand. I mean, clearly, I am in the, like, this is so stupid category. So if you are not in that category, feel free to play devil's advocate with me. Like, that's fine. I totally respect anybody who is. But come on.
I'm going to be not in your camp. I'm going to be past your camp that this is not only stupid, but this is dangerous. As somebody that has a background in water quality.
Actually, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
This infuriates me. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead, I want you to intro it a little bit more.
Oh my gosh. So, well, the trend is, like, because, you know, you see people talking about, you see or hear people talking about this via pictures and all these kinds of things. But what the heck is it? So, raw water is not just, you know, natural water. It is supposedly crystal clear water, brimming with beneficial bacteria and minerals from the earth. Does anybody remember how much we've polluted our planet? Does anybody remember and recall that, like, that's actually a critical problem in our world right now? And now you're saying, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is like people that go out and eat snow. Like, snow comes from the sky, which is massively polluted. This is a terrible idea. So to your point, please, water quality expert, share why this is not just silly, but has real potential, like, threats.
I read through this article, and obviously the company that's marketing this, I don't know, they supposedly, apparently they say they test this, they're grabbing spring water. and they're just selling untreated spring water.
Yeah, but there's more than just one company. Like these, yes. This is like an increasing
right.
trend.
It's becoming
people are setting up booths on the side of the road.
Right. And I've heard, you know, backpackers, if they can get to a stream that's very high in the mountains, that's coming right from fresh snowmelt, they might drink it. That has no really very little chances of being polluted. They might drink it, but they also, even those guys, will bring, you know, water filtration and purification devices.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of backpackers do that. The reason we do that is because, as Shannon said, there's a lot of there's high chances of pollutants being in this water. Sure, there might be some beneficial trace minerals in the raw water. I would really have to do some research about the beneficial bacteria that lives in water, but because I'm not really familiar with that. But it's really, it can come to a dangerous point, because one of the greatest advances we have in this country, and I think hopefully a lot of other developed countries, is our water purification. The fact that we can turn the sink on and actually drink that water without getting ill.
Yeah.
That is rare in the worldwide view. I mean, there's a high number that's actually in this article. It talks about how many children die a year due to not having suitable drinking water.
Yeah, I mean, so, if we go back in time and look back at, like, you know, what is it, like the Middle Ages or the Renaissance
yeah.
period, water wasn't clean enough to drink, so they drank. Those people drank booze.
Yeah,
because
they drank
the water
booze.
Wasn't good.
Yeah,
we think it's gotten better.
Right, and I mean, like I said, there could be, if it's like an unadulterated some type of spring, but that is so rare nowadays due to, I mean, even like groundwater seepage, where
yeah.
I mean, you're talking about how pollutants from the surface are getting into groundwater supplies. So even things like arsenic and barium and all those type of heavy metals getting in to the groundwater supply. And then the one that I always thought about, or I was always heard about, like I said, have a background in water quality and water purification, was Giardia. It's a nasty bacteria that essentially, the number one symptom I hear is uncontrollable diarrhea.
Isn't that basically like the Mexico curse too?
I believe
like,
so
that's
to
what,
a certain extent.
What it is
yeah.
basically
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
What is that? Montezuma's Revenge.
Yes. And a lot of countries, if somebody gets that, it's a death sentence because they don't have the type of medication that we do in this country to stop that, you know.
Oh, gosh.
But it just leads to dehydration. Gosh, I'm trying to find that stat because it really proves the point of here it is. The lack of clean water kills hundreds of thousands of children a year. A scholar at the Vatican Observatory. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about people that the world is worried about digging wells to get clean water. A lot of the undeveloped world or developing nations are worried about getting clean drinking water, and we have so much clean drinking water, now we're going to unclean drinking water.
Yeah, so now we're so desperate for a new craze and something that can be marketed as healthy and, you know, perfect for your fitness, and this is a miracle worker. And I mean, there's just a certain line, like there should be something that just clicks in your brain and goes, is this really something we need? Because
right.
no. I mean, if you're dying of thirst, I understand wanting to drink any water you can. But I think the thing that the article we are referencing continuously through this section is that they say at the end of the day, you have to know what you're putting in your body. So if there's a scientist standing by this river or this pool that's got like a little test kit, and he's proving validation that this is what's in this particular water source at this particular time, that if you get water from this part of the pool, this is what's in it, it's safe. Unless that's the case, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I don't know about this company, how often they test it, but I can tell you the drinking water from the work experience I have, the drinking water you get from your tap is tested every day. At the water treatment facility it comes from, it is tested every day, and it is held to a very high standards. Obviously, the Clean Water Act from EPA has very high standards for drinking water. We had, I worked in a water recycling plant where the water was actually wastewater that we cleaned and then used as basically...
potable water?
Yeah, exactly. Potable water. So non-potable. Is it non-potable?
Potable, non-potable.
Basically water that can be used for, to water plants. Lawn. Yeah, they used it to water plants, water golf courses. I think they used it at the zoo also.
We're big users of that kind of water in Florida.
So it and that water, I know, because this was in Colorado, they actually, the water that they recycled after it was clean was actually the standards meant drinking water standards. So technically you could drink that water.
But they don't recommend
it. But they couldn't because it was actually... what they call gray water before, so it came from, you know, showers and stuff like that, washing machines and stuff like that.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know if it was actually sewage. I don't believe it came from sewage. It might have, but...
maybe I just wanted to slip that in there.
But, I mean, like I said...
it usually smells like poo.
But, yeah, that usually it probably has a lot of sulfur in it, so... but, you know, they chlorinated it and everything like that. So all those advances that have prevented huge diseases or huge problems like getting Giardia or other bacteria that can kill you in most circumstances, now we just want to erase them. Because, like, literally, in this article, this guy, Jones, I can't remember, he was from, there's another person they quote in here. Hold on, you're going too far. David Jones, he's from the professor of history of medicine at Harvard Medical School. He basically talks about how this is just a really extreme case of one of these first world problems.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
I mean...
that's just... it's stupid.
Honestly, the drinking water out of your tap, that's safe enough to drink. But we still buy... we buy bottled water, too. I mean, we have the Brita filter in our thing. We're just, you know, we
that's
we
mostly just for flavor.
Yeah.
Like, we know our... tap water is safe to drink, but I mean, even just like the flavor is something that.
So I mean, filtering. I'm very opposed to this, and the first time somebody gets sick from it, it's going to go away because it's going to happen unless they're getting their set up some sort of constant monitoring station there, which I highly doubt. It's going to go away, and I do not recommend you do this. I do not recommend that you go with raw water. The benefits don't outweigh the potential disadvantages.
Yeah, the risk on this is so high that, I mean, especially if you have any sensitivities, if you've got a delicate, like, immune system already or something like that, the even, like, smallest amount is probably going to make you sick.
Yeah.
And this is just not... this is just not worth it.
Like I said, I mean, if you're looking for the whatever trace minerals that are in the normal spring water, you supplement it with an actual supplement or maybe food. You know,
I feel like it's the equivalent of going and like trying to suck on a rock.
Yeah,
and be like, I'm getting some minerals. Get some minerals from the earth.
Right. It's not. It's a little bit different. I don't want to keep beating on this, but it's like I can see like a parallel between what they call raw milk and then raw water. Because raw milk, they talk about the benefits of the bacteria in there, and then, you know, how much better it is than the pasteurized water and everything like that.
That's a whole other debate. Yeah, but that's a whole different thing.
This is, I mean, when it goes through chlorination or it goes through filtration, it's not changing the molecular structure of it.
Yeah, there's a difference between raw and then unfiltered.
Right. I just, you know, I think this is a craze. It's going to go away, and I hopefully nobody dies because of it.
It doesn't. Now, this is like a old thing I feel like we haven't heard in many, many years, but didn't dysentery come from bad water?
Yep.
And that killed.
Yep, that's
like, remember, Giardia. For all those people that played the Oregon Trail back in, like, I mean, I'm dating myself here, but if you're a child of the 80s, you know this. If you played the Oregon Trail, how many freaking times did you die crossing the country from dysentery?
Yep. E. coli, Giardia.
So frequent.
Those are the kind of things that cause that. Yep. For sure.
Finally. So, it's connected.
All right. So I think we broached that topic enough, and we voiced our opinions, our very, I would say, vehement Vehemently? All right, I'm gonna
How
stop.
Do you say that? Is it vehement or vehemently?
I don't know.
This is a
We're question strongly for opposed to it. How about that? Thank God.
Passionately yes. so.
All right, so I wanted to talk about another topic I saw. I was looking through one of the websites I frequent a lot, healthline.com. A really good evidence-based kind of health and nutrition website. And I saw an interesting article about possible diet-related reasons for migraines. And I know migraines is something you suffer from every now and again, and actually a lot of people suffer from.
I know. Lots of people I know get it at least every once in a while. And I have actually known a couple people who have unfortunately been kind of plagued with them, where they get them so much that they are, I mean, they miss tons of work and are on all kinds of medication and stuff.
Yeah, it says right now, I mean, this is a little bit of a dated stat, but from 2001, an estimated 28 million Americans experience migraines. So it's a pretty significant amount. And according also to this article, about 27 to 30% of those migraines are those with migraines believe that certain foods trigger their migraines.
Well, and research has also shown that women get them at a greater frequency than men.
Huh, interesting. What that is. I wonder if it's hormones. Okay, yeah. There it is. Another reason what they believe is the triggers are hormones, stress, and, of course, what we already mentioned, dietary factors. So that's what we're going to focus on in this article, or that's what this article focuses on, is that they actually list the 11 most frequently reported dietary migraine triggers. Now, as I said, the association between dietary causes for migraines is still somewhat controversial. They haven't found a distinct link, but they basically rely on, you know, individuals with migraines to report what type of triggers cause their migraines most frequently. So that's how they compiled this list. And we're going to go through the list. We're going to go, I think, through the top five. They have 11 here, but we're just going to go through the top five. And number one is my beloved coffee, which is interesting because I showed you this and you said...
first reaction was that can't be possible because the first thing I do when I get a migraine, now I will say I get ocular migraines. So I get really sensitive to light. I don't know if it's the same with the sound ones, but... I drink a cup of coffee. Like, as soon as I start getting the blotches of, the blind spots, I go and drink a cup of coffee. Because that, it doesn't prevent it or, make it go away, but it makes it so much less horrible than it could be.
Right, and they actually mention that in the little section where they have they list coffee and talk about how coffee is a migraine treatment also. Yeah. But it could also be a trigger. So high caffeine sometimes triggers migraines in certain people. So they said that an estimated 40% of habitual coffee consumers experience a headache after abstaining from coffee from 12 to 24 hours. So that's also another portion about this is that when people try to get off caffeine, they usually get withdrawals.
We can't talk today.
Yes, so coffee is their number one listed one for the most, I guess, most reported migraine trigger.
So here's
but
my
also
question,
could be
though.
Treatment. So I wonder if it would
Here's the
up.
Question.
What's up?
Caffeine is not only found in coffee and in a lot of teas, including green tea, black tea. Some of those have even higher caffeine counts than coffee. So is it right to say that coffee is not the actual cause, since a lot of those kind of mentions we just listed out were specifically about caffeine being
it's
a
true.
Trigger?
It's a good point, because they also limiting caffeine intake or quitting high caffeine beverages altogether may be the best option for some.
So they specifically say caffeine. So coffee might just be the kind of one example, but it could also be found in tea, sodas, energy drinks.
Right. Huh. So maybe, like you said, caffeine, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you can use it for energy, but sometimes you get too much and you get a headache or migraine. Okay.
Too much of a good thing?
Yep. We know that we always know what that say. Everything in moderation, except for coffee. Anyways, so number two is
just went against
aged. Yeah, I know. Aged cheese. How about that? About 9 to 18% of people with migraines report sensitivity to aged cheese.
No fromage, but we love the fromage.
Is that aged cheese?
Cheese.
Oh,
I don't really know what. I'm guessing this is like your stinky cheeses.
Ah, yes. Like so they say the culprit is that aged cheese has a high tyramine content. And tyramine is a compound that forms when bacteria breaks down the amino acid tyrosine during the aging process.
Didn't we find that tyramine is like beneficial?
No, it was, I think it was tyrosine, actually. Ah. Tyrosine. Anyway, so they think the tyramine, and also there might be an amount of another culprit in the aged cheese, but I'm going to hold off on that because it's under another one I actually peeked ahead. So number three is alcoholic beverages. So,
oh, yeah.
Duh, people. Everybody's heard about the migraines or the hangover headaches. So I think that has a lot. I've heard an interesting thing about that was that it's actually almost like a mini withdrawal.
I've also heard it's dehydration.
Yeah, dehydration, but I also your body I think is going through a withdrawal too because it's almost like kind of similar with the caffeine that your body really the alcohol is gonna send so many kind of releases so many different type of hormones that when you get off of it, your body craves it so much and then it goes into like a headache and nausea and dehydrated and stuff like that. So It says roughly 29 to 36% of those with migraines believe that alcohol may trigger a migraine attack.
Interesting.
They also believe that red wine specifically may trigger a migraine more than other alcoholic beverages, especially among women. And they believe this is because this was actually under the cheese thing too, was that its histamine content is a little bit higher. And they believe that histamine can also
that was under the cheese one too.
Yeah. Can cause migraines.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I don't drink a lot of red wine, but it is my preference of wine. So I'm not going to change that.
So number four is going to be processed meat. So they said about 5% of people with migraines may develop a headache hours or even minutes after consuming processed meat products. I think this also has to do, they said, with the histamine, but also they have nitrates too, so preservatives.
Oh, I have. Well, and that I've also heard relation to wine.
Nitrites? Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that like certain people have sensitivities to that and they get like really bad headaches. They even get sick because of, is it the nitrites?
Nitrites, that's what they say, yep.
But also in wine?
Yeah, I believe it, yep.
So
nitrites, that's why you see a lot of packaging on bacon and other pork products talk about no nitrites or any nitrates. So that's a big marketing kind of a... approach now to kind of getting people more and it's good too. It's good that they're not using that preservative in the products too. All right, so the last one that we're going to report, we'll go through the other ones real quick, but the last one we're going to talk about in detail is actually, I lied, number four was the last one, damn it. So the other ones, 5 through 11, are MSG. You guys, one that you frequently have,
that's a dirty word,
on Chinese food. Stands for monosodium glutamate, for all those who are questioning or wondering what MSG stands for. 6 is aspartame, artificial sweetener. 7, sucralose, artificial sweetener.
Sugar. 8,
citrus fruits. 11% of those with migraines reported citrus fruits being a migraine trigger. Interesting. Number 9, chocolate. I think that also has to do with caffeine. Some chocolate has a little amount of caffeine in it, too. 10, gluten, inflammatory food, and 11, fasting or skipping meals. Interesting.
I have actually heard like when certain people do like a cleanse or something, or you know, detox, whether it's simplifying their diet, doing like juice or whatever,
right,
that they get headaches.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially heard people talk about when they go to more of a high-fat, low-carb diet, when you're trying to switch over. So that might be the same thing with the cleanse. When you're dropping the processed food and your body is used to all of that type of glucose, that huge amount of sugar spike, mm-hmm. if you kind of drop that, your body goes into like kind of almost like withdrawal symptoms again. So it's got to how to learn how to go off of lower blood sugar and using ketones and things like that. So now we're going to go in a couple supplemental treatments for migraines. And the first one is one I'm not familiar with. Have you ever seen this one?
I thought, well, I'm not going to lie, when I quickly looked at this, I thought it said butter beer, and yeah, I was like,
you were hoping it said
yes! Harry Potter beverage of choice.
So apparently this is a herbal supplement known as butterbur. Butterbur?
Isn't it sounds like butterbeer, I'm
yeah.
telling you.
A few controlled
I'm
going to
say a cure is butterbeer.
A few controlled studies have shown that 50 to 75 milligrams of butterbur may significantly reduce the frequency of migraines in children, adolescents, and adults. Huh. I don't know what this is. I've never heard of this. How about that? Google it. Oh, keep in mind that unprocessed butterbur can be toxic. Whoa. As it contains compounds that may increase the risk of cancer and liver damage. Wow. All right. These compounds are removed from commercial varieties.
Oh, it's legit like a supplement that you can buy.
Right. The next one is coenzyme Q10. CoQ10. I actually have heard of this one. It's an antioxidant that plays a central role in energy metabolism. I think there's a couple whole food sources that produce a lot of this. Let's see. Your body produces it. It is both produced by your body and found in various food. These include meat, fish, liver, broccoli, and parsley. It's also sold as a supplement.
And help to relieve headaches, migraines, hay fever.
So it's a plant, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Butterbur.
All right.
I was really hoping it was liquid and tasted like butterscotch, but...
All right, so the other vitamins and minerals that they say or suggest to help treat migraines is folate, magnesium, and riboflavin, which is a vitamin, a B vitamin complex, or in the B vitamin complex. So folate and magnesium, it's interesting too. Like you said, it's easy to see how this could, that women probably suffer from migraines the most because you look at these vitamins or these vitamins and minerals right here. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff that a lot of women are usually deficient in, especially like folate, which is super important.
Yeah,
we knew when you were pregnant, and magnesium too.
Yep. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of, I think because women's hormones and everything's fluctuate so much over the course of a day or a month or whatever, that it really makes us a little bit more susceptible.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since you've had one, right?
I don't even want to jinx it.
No.
To be honest. I get like a few a year usually. I don't get them. I'm super lucky. I don't get them that much. Usually mine are having to do with stress. But I think it also is tied to hormonal. that's my trigger, right. Is stress and hormones. So, right. Yeah.
Well, guys, let us know if you get migraines and if you have a treatment or maybe even both a trigger or a treatment that sets ones off or and how you treat it.
Yeah.
We would love to know about it. Please feel free to reach out to us on social media or via email, and we'll definitely respond and actually feature your response on the next episode. On a future episode, I should say.
Yeah, and we'll obviously be highlighting them in our social media. So definitely come talk to us there.
Yes. All right. You think you got anything else for them?
I think I am done.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Unique New York. Unique New York.
Unique New York.
Unique New York. Unique New York. Wow.
That could be an outtake right there.
Power sneeze.